All right, this morning I'd like for us to take our Bible, if you would, and turn to the book of Romans today. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture, but I'd like to open it up in a different light perhaps this morning, looking at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I titled the message today, What Should I Do? The Lord has led me in the last, this will be the third week of dealing with a kind of looking into the matter of Christianity and who we are in Christ. We talked about faith just a couple of weeks back, and then we looked last time at who am I as a believer. I'm talking to the believer this morning. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. Christ died for you, and you cannot please Him without coming to Him in a personal way as a relationship. You can't please the Lord. You can't expect Him to care for you or do anything for you other than give you the grace to be at this point where you could receive the Lord in salvation. But having said that, who am I? We looked at Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So we're talking about how we are as a believer in our stand, we might say, and in our state as well. We're born again. To be born again is to be, of course, indwelt by the Spirit of God. But as a born-again believer, how should we live our life? I mean, that being saved, and many of you have been saved for a number of years, and how is it that we're to live our life each and every day, moment by moment? Not just on Sundays coming to church, Wednesdays making prayer meeting, whatever we're doing through the week, but we're talking about a moment-by-moment lifestyle that's pleasing to the Lord. Now, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, again, very familiar passage. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, it's something that we must do. Paul again saying he was crucified with Christ. You and I can identify with that, who we are. We, as a born-again believer, when he died, we died. Our sins have been dealt with, but how do we continue to live in Christ and for Christ? I'm thinking about this sacrifice. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Think with me just a moment. The sacrificial system as we know it in the Old Testament as well as the New. And I'd like to look at some passages there this morning. How did this come about as we think about giving a sacrifice? What does it mean? What does it mean to offer our bodies? What does it mean to offer to God? We go back into the book of Genesis and we find there man's created, of course, in the image of God. Adam was created in the image of God. Of course, sin came in and Adam became a sinner and he was separated from God, placed out of the garden. The fellowship was broken. Something had to be dealt with in this matter. And of course, Adam in his sin clothed himself. I'm paraphrasing this and you can go back and read it. He clothed himself. They saw that they were naked. Didn't see that prior to sin, but now they see that. They clothed themselves in fig leaves. And from that was not anything that would suffice God. So God took the first life of an animal and clothed them in the skin of that animal. Think with me just a moment. In the death of the animal, a life was taken, blood was shed, and they were clothed in the skin of that animal to hide their nakedness, to again, in this manner, it's a way of acknowledging God, who He is, who we are, who they were, They were created in the image of God. They weren't gods. They were human. You and I made in the image of Adam. Still in the image of God, we're talking about with body, soul, and spirit. It's not just a body. We have a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. We have a spirit. We cannot see either of those, but according to the Word of God, that's how He created us. And now we are separated from God, and we need to meet the requirements of God, acknowledging Him, of course, of who He is. And then, of course, we find in Scripture in the New Testament where that we can have a personal relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. But prior to that, we find in this matter of sacrifice, and I'd like for us to turn there this morning in Genesis chapter number 4. As I said, I'm going to give some Scripture. Cause us to think today, what should I do? How should I live? We find in Genesis chapter 4, of course, that Cain and Abel are born. We're talking about the children of Adam. And in verse 1, it says in chapter 4, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bears brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Think with me just a moment. I'm going to paraphrase some Scripture and put some thoughts into our mind. This matter of sacrifice, matter of an offering. Prior to that, we don't know anything of it at all. From that, what do we know? We know that these two sons, one brought, he was a tiller of the land, he brought the vegetables, if you would, he brought the fruit of the earth. The other one brought a sacrifice, he brought of the firstling of his flock, something that was alive, something that he could identify with. And what was the purpose of the offering? Well, according to what we see in the Old Testament, the offering was given not for the condition of sin, but the offering was given as a sense of acknowledging God for who He is. God is the Creator. He's real. He's alive. He's looking at us. That's what we found with Adam and Eve. Remember when God came in the cool of the day, He found Adam clothed in the fig leaves, and the question was, where art thou? In other words, God knew where he was, and Adam, of course, answered the question, but God had fellowship with Adam in the cool of the day, and he knew that God was in his presence around him, and Abel, this same faith of believing in a God, believing in a Creator, is passed down to these sons. How do you do that other than, as again, oral tradition we often speak of in the Old Testament, where things are passed to the siblings, to the children, to the grandchildren, things that we know to be truth, we say and we tell and we teach. And evidently Adam had done this, and now we find that this offering is being made by Abel to God, and God accepts his offering. It goes on to say this. The Lord said unto Cain, why? And let me read verse number 5. But unto Cain and to his offering had not respect. He had respect to Abel in his offering, but to Cain in his offering he had not respect. He had no respect. For what? For what Cain had offered. He'd offered the vegetables. He'd offered the produce. Well, what is the deal here? Someone may say, well, number one, it's an attitude. If we know that there's a real God, if we know that the way that we fellowship with Him is by offering Him thanks, and this is what we find in the beginning of the Old Testament, in moving toward Christ, is that they gave an offering, and oftentimes it became a burnt offering. A burnt offering was given to God, not so much with the thought of sin or appeasing God for their sin as it much as it was for thanks in who He was and what He does. And he had offered the firstling of his flocks, and Cain did not, and his sacrifice did not appease God. It did not please God. Why? Because of his attitude. So bear with me just a moment. Here we raise an animal. We see there's life in the animal that only God can give. And we take that animal that we have fed, as he did. Evidently took pretty good care of it. The animal had fat on him, meaning that it was in good shape. It wasn't just something that was going to be offered that was of no value. Well, I'll take this one. It's about to die. No, he took the very best that he had, and he offered that to God. And God was pleased with his offering. And we find later, moving through the scripture in the book of Genesis, we find where that Noah, you know the story of Noah, there's sin in the earth, and Noah's righteous in the eyes of the Lord, and God preserves Noah and his family, and God works in this matter with Noah, and Noah's on the other side of the flood now, in Genesis chapter 8, and Noah comes off of the ark. In verse number 20 it says, and Noah building an altar unto the Lord. Stay with me. I'm showing how these offerings and altars and burnt offerings and things are done to give God honor and glory for who He is. Hasn't been required. Didn't say that Abel or Cain was required to do this, but they did it from the heart with intentions of showing God how much they cared for Him. And now Noah builds an altar unto the Lord, and he took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the smell of the sweet savor, the Lord smelled, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing that I've done. This is in a sense, a covenant made with Noah, a covenant made with man. God's not going to flood the earth again. Not universal flood. There are places where they have been floods, but he's not going to do that. And he says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, it shall not cease. In other words, we can see that God is taking care of these things. We believe that. What God is doing. And he'd offered this up, this sacrifice to God, in a sense of thanks. Then we find further over into the book of Genesis where God calls Abraham. Abraham's a man of faith. He's living, believing in God. He's living in a world where others do not believe in God. Think about this. From the time of Noah to the time of Abraham, there are many people on the face of the earth. God has destroyed the Tower of Babel. He scattered the people. And one man in all of the world, all of the earth, has faith, believing in a God. A God. Not just some God or something, but he has faith in God, and God sees this in Genesis 12. And now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. He's in a pagan world, a world around him surrounded with lost people. And God calls him out. And of course, he makes his way forward. And verse number 7 of Genesis 12, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord. I'm following this matter of this altar, this sacrificing of giving to God. He built an altar to the Lord. He built this altar. And in doing so, he's giving thanks to God for who he is and what he's done. And we find this again in chapter 12 and verse 7 and 8. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and they are building an altar. And he continues to go forth. In verse 17 of chapter 13, it says, arise, walk through the land, and the length of it and the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee. And by the way, that land belongs to Israel. And Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar to the Lord. When God spoke to him, he responded by sacrifice, offering, praise and worship to the Lord. We find this again and again. We find this in Genesis 15. Chapter 15, verse number 6. He believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness when God had made this covenant with Abram or Abraham. His faith in God was counted as righteousness. Remember back in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 11, it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In verse 6 it says, without faith it's impossible to please God. You've got to come to God in faith and believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's Abel again. He's offering up, if you would, this offering of thanks to God in a sense that he knows that God's real. He can't see Him, but he believes in Him, and he knows that He's present with him. And this is where we are today. God is present in this world today. And this is what he says through the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, to the believer, that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. While we're demonstrating that we believe in God. This is a matter for the believer every day, every minute, every moment, not just once a week, not once or twice a year. It's how we offer to God, if you would, on the altar of service, who we are. And we want God to see that what we're doing is we're giving Him our all and giving Him our best. Not something that He has blessed us with. He deserves that, doesn't He? I mean, it's all His. What do you and I have today that is really ours? You say, well, I own these clothes. No, you haven't. Where'd you get the money? I have a car. Where did you get the funds? I have a home. How did that happen? We came here with nothing, and we're going to leave with nothing, folks. The only thing that you and I are going to take out of this world are the treasures that we send or build up in heaven. It's for certain that we can't take anything with us. I'm reminded again of a fellow years ago, Dr. Criswell spoke of when he first went to Dallas, First Baptist of Dallas. He had been invited to a man's home, and the man was a very wealthy person. And he invited him out on the porch after the meal, and he said, Dr. Criswell, he said, you see as far this way? And it's just on a ranch as far as he could see. He said, everything this way belongs to me, far as you can see. And he walked over to the other side of the porch and looked all the cattle, barns, farm. He said, everything in this direction, as far as you can see, belongs to me. Question being, someone asked, how far can the eye see? How far is it from land to the distance of seeing the top of a mast of a ship, maybe? What is it? 25, 30 miles, somewhere in that neighborhood. Think about it, as far as you can see. He brought him, he said, look that every way. He said, as far as you can see, it all belongs to me. It's mine. And we know better than that, don't we? But the question Dr. Criswell said to him was this. He said, what do you have up there? All of this is mine. But what do you have up there? Nothing that we have belongs to us. We have today, by the grace of God, we have ears to hear with. We have eyes to see with. We have hands, feet, a body. Maybe it's not as good as it once was, but you still are way ahead of a lot of people. And everything that we have belongs to God. And what God wants more than anything, and I'm talking to the believer, is He wants us to live for Him. I mean, as much as He's done for us, doesn't He deserve that? Christ, we talked about, Paul said in Galatians 2:20, that I'm crucified with Him. That matter of salvation means we died. We died to ourselves when we saw that we're sinners. There's no hope for a sinner getting into the heaven other than being at the great white throne judgment for a short period of time and then being put into the lake of fire for eternity. We've been crucified with Him. We see that He died for us. We realize that He died so that we could have our sins forgiven and be saved. And now we identify with that. We died with Him. And this is what He says in verse 1 of Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. This matter, again, as you look into the Greek text in which it was written, this is a aorist verb. It means it's a, and by the way, I'm throwing out things you wouldn't know unless you studied this. It's a pluperfect. It's a one-time thing that has occurred that will never happen again. But because of its taking place and what happened, it has a eternal or continual force with it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Do it now. You understand you're saved. Some people, again, that's why we need the matter of discipling. People come to the Lord. They believe in what's being said. They give their heart and life to the Lord, but they never grow in their faith. They don't understand anything about it. I'm saved. You've heard that. I've heard that. I'm saved when and where? What have you done since then? You put your body on the sacrifice. That's what Abel did. He did according to the knowledge that he had of God. This traditional knowledge had been passed down, the wisdom of God, through Adam. And you've got two sons. One believes, the other one, he's not going to. Didn't say he didn't believe, but he's not going to do according to what he thinks God requires. He's going to do it his way, and that's what a lot of people are doing today. Amen. They're trying to make their way to heaven by doing good things. I'm not a bad person. Have you ever heard that one? I have. I've never really done anything wrong. Haven't killed anyone. Haven't stolen anything. It doesn't matter. Our righteousness, or righteousnesses, plural, or as filthy rags in the sight of God. What do you mean by that? We're saying, God, I don't need your forgiveness because I haven't done anything wrong. It's not that you have to do something wrong, commit an act to be a sinner. You're already a sinner. And that's why we commit sins, is because we're sinners. We're not sinners because we commit. We're sinners and we commit. And therefore, we need a Savior. We need someone, and we see this in the book of, talking about the Old Testament, we're moving from the sacrifice of offering to God things to identifying with who He is and thanksgiving that you're above me, you created all of this, into a place of now that we're guilty. Abel's not offering this as a guilt offering before God. He's offering it as a thanks offering to God. Again, we see that in Noah. He's offering a burnt offering to God. Not for the guilt that he's committed, asking God to forgive him, but for the thanksgiving. We even move into the book of Exodus, there we find where Moses comes on the scene, you remember, and he'd already promised to Abraham, who had built an altar to God, thanking him for what he's promised him. We see the nation of Israel in captivity down in Egypt, and now God is going to deliver his people through Moses. And Moses goes to Pharaoh, and he says that God said, "Let my people go." And he would like for you to release them that we may be able to go into the wilderness and sacrifice there to God. Sacrifice for what, we might ask, and I'm not trying to be ugly in any way. Is it for the sins that we've committed? No, we want to go there and sacrifice to God because we believe in God and we want to give him thanks for who he is. And of course, Pharaoh did not let that happen. God hardened his heart. And then we find that God says, this is what you'll do. You'll take the blood of a lamb. First of all, you'll take the best. On the 10th day of the first month, by the way, that changed time. On the 10th day of the first month, this is going to be the first month of your calendar. You're not going to forget it. On the 10th day, you're going to set this lamb aside. And you're going to make sure that it's good. And this is by faith, good. He expects the best. And on the 14th day, you're going to take the life of that lamb. And you're going to take the blood and you're going to catch it. And you're going to take it and you're going to put it on the doorpost and the lintel of the home. And we're going to do that. And we're going to do that. Can you get it? And when the Lord passes by where the blood has been applied, there's going to be life for all the firstborn. And for those who do not do that, the firstborn's going to die. Now we know that all of Egypt, their firstborn died. It doesn't say about Israel. It was by faith that they did that. Nothing had ever been done like that before. Now the shedding of the blood is where the Lord's looking. And they're applying that, and it is pointing to something else. What was this sacrifice about? It was about the deliverance of captivity. They were being delivered from the captivity of the world. Egypt is a picture of the world. When you find them going down into Egypt, you see them going down into the world. Abraham went down into Egypt. Just saying again, we see the flaws in God's word. God doesn't show just the best of Abraham building an altar to God and praising God. We find that Abraham finds himself in a predicament with a famine, and they have food in the world, so he goes to the world. Folks, we need to stay out of the world. If we get hungry, we need to talk to God. He went down into the world. We find that Isaac went down into the world. We find that God delivered them out of the world. He's showing them now that he's going to send a deliverer by the shedding of the blood that's going to deliver all who are held in captivity to the things of the world. And see, we're in the world, but we're not of the world as a born-again believer. But we're sinners. And he said this in Romans 5 in verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, and so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." That's Christ. By his obedience to the Father, he willingly gave his life. He was examined, by the way, set aside. He came in at what we call the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He came in and he was examined on every side. He was examined by Pilate, who's a Gentile, the world. He's examined by the high priest. He's examined, and yet there's no fault in him. Why? Because he's the perfect Lamb of God. And he willingly went to the cross. He died on the cross. He shed his blood for whosoever will that believes in that. Now, there's not any picture of this sacrificial system, if you would, from the time of Cain and able even to this, where that man has been given a way to come to God apart from that. We find that everything goes according to the scripture, that man either praises God, he believes in God, and he gives to God, gives the worship, I'm saying, the worth to God, or either he rejects that from Cain following. Cain's attitude. God's not going to tell him what to do. And of course, with that attitude, he took his brother's life. Thank God he gave us another line through Seth. And now today, you and I have the opportunity. You've got this matter of Noah coming through Seth. You've got the matter of Abraham, the nation of Israel. And Israel failed in being God's representative to show the world that there is a God. But that's what God did with them in the wilderness. He placed them in the wilderness, and he had them to set up this tabernacle that was pointing to the tabernacle in heaven, where that man could have his sins forgiven, where that man could appease God by the giving of the things back to God, and they failed that. They took that, and they if you would, became self-righteous in their acts, and missing what it pointed to. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," and they missed that. And the prophets of the Old Testament had prophesied his coming. They had prophesied his life. They had prophesied his death. And today man's doing the same thing. Oh, I'm okay with God. I'm not a bad person. Why do I need Christ? Why do I need to ask him to save me? Who is he? That's what they said, wasn't it? The Jews did. And people today you talk with, again, that they don't understand who they are, how they're created as a sinner, and what their need of salvation is. And we pray to God that he would use us to show them, to demonstrate this. And what he's saying now is to you and I who are born again, we died with Christ. We saw that in Scripture. But now we're to live for Christ. And it's a daily thing. We give ourselves on the altar of God. We present ourselves, our bodies, a living sacrifice, a one-time thing. Not something to keep coming back and coming back and coming back. But how do we do that? We give ourselves to the Lord. Present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. How can we be holy and acceptable unto God? Well, we find that he accounted that, or counted that to Abraham, if you would, in faith. He believed in God, and God accounted the righteousness to him in faith. You believe in God this morning, God accounts that righteousness to you and to me. And what we do is we give ourselves to the Lord, and then we live daily. We die daily, as Paul said. I die daily. I die daily to myself. I die daily to my selfish ways, my selfish needs. I know that everything that I have belongs to God. And the reason that I'm using the example for myself, that I'm still alive, is for his honor and glory. It's not that he's saying, I'm going to give you this many good years for this. No, every day that we have from God is a blessing, no matter what age we are. The health we have from God is a blessing. He has given us this for the pleasing, if you would, of him, that we might be a representative, presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And be not conformed to this world. In other words, when we put ourselves on the altar, when we give ourselves to the Lord each day, we say, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me this day." We don't know what this day holds, but God, if it be your will, use me somehow today in your will to be a blessing to others who know you, to be a blessing to those that don't know you. Help in my life, dear Lord, to show to others who Christ is. Can others see in your life, in my life, the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not easy, folks, being a Christian. It's not a piece of cake. so to speak. I mean, thank God for what He's done. Is it real? Yes, it is. Is it eternal? Yes, it is. But you're trying to live this life every day in this world. And it's constantly pounding you. And it's working against the things of God. But thank God, one day this world is going to be caught up in a fire that the scientists of our day have yet to even touch or talk about. You're talking about global warming? This thing's going up. Sin's going up. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. But we're living in this world of sin today, you and I. We're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not to be conformed to this world. We're not to keep company with these things. We're not to comply to the things of the world. But we're to be transformed, he says, by the renewing of your mind. Think about the mind. The mind is where the devil gets in and he works and he works and he works. He plants the seed of doubt. He plants the seed of discouragement. You can't do that. It's no use trying. God doesn't love you. If he did, why would you be confronted with these things? We're to be renewed with our mind. Think about that. That we may prove. That means to practice. That means to be test. What is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God? God's will for our life is that we make a difference in the day and age in which we live. That others can see Christ in us. We put our bodies on the sacrifice. I mean, on the altar of the Lord. We present our bodies, this one-time thing. And now, let's continue to live for the Lord each day. Folks, you know, you say, well, it ought to be easy. The longer you live for the Lord. But you know the tests are greater. We look at the world today and we see things going on that you and I would have never thought. And they're testing the things of God. They're testing the children of God. How are we going to react to these things? Stay where you once were. Put your life, you died with Christ, you received. We are on the altar. Lord, my body is a living sacrifice. My mind, my eyes, my ears, my hands, everything I have belongs to you, Lord. Use me. What should I do? That's what we should do. You know, it's a good idea and a good habit to get into before your feet hit the floor in the morning. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord through the night. Lord, we don't know what's going on in this world next week. But you do. He already knows. He's omniscient. He knows everything. God, would you go before me this day, this week, this time, and help me, dear Lord? I know that trials will come. Satan's trying to work against us. We got things that we're trying to get done. Lord, for you and all these things, Lord, we need your power. We need your strength. Would you be there for us? He will. He's with us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Let's stand together this morning. As we think about offering ourselves again to the Lord, Father, we thank you today for your people. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we can see in and through the lives of others, dear God, how that you provided for them. And Lord, you still make provisions every day for each of us. We thank you today, Lord. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our brother. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being inside of us, guiding and directing our steps. And may we live for you, Lord, a life that would be pleasing. Help us in the hours of temptation and trial. Deliver us from the evil one, as Christ said in the prayer. Father, focus our minds and hearts on pleasing thee, dear God, would be our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen.